9. Do you want to live according to nature? Oh, you noble Stoics, what a verbal swindle! Imagine a being like nature, extravagant without limit, indifferent without limit, without purposes and consideration, without pity and justice, simultaneously fruitful, desolate, and unknown. Imagine this indifference itself as a power. How could you live in accordance with this indifference? Living. Isn't that precisely a will to be something different from what this nature is? Isn't living appraising, preferring, being unjust, being limited, wanting to be different? And if your imperative, live according to nature, basically means what amounts to live according to life, why can't you just do that? Why make a principle out of what you yourselves are and must be? The truth of the matter is quite different. While you pretend to be in raptures as you read the canon of your law out of nature, you want something which is the reverse of this, you weird actors and self-deceivers. Your pride wants to prescribe to and incorporate nature, this very nature, into your morality, your ideal. You demand that nature be in accordance with the Stoa, and you'd like to make all existence merely living in accordance with your own image of it, as a huge and eternal glorification and universalizing of Stoicism. With all your love of truth, you have forced yourselves for such a long time and with such persistence and hypnotic rigidity to look at nature falsely, that is, stoically, until you're incapable of seeing nature as anything else any more. And some abysmal arrogance finally inspires you with the lunatic hope that, because you know how to tyrannize over yourselves, Stoicism is self-tyranny, nature also allows herself to be tyrannized. Is the Stoic then not a part of nature? But this is an ancient, eternal story. What happened then with the Stoics is still happening today, as soon as a philosophy begins to believe in itself. It always creates a world in its own image. It cannot do anything different. Philosophy is this tyrannical drive itself, the spiritual will to power, to a creation of the world, to the causa prima, first cause. 10. The enthusiasm and the delicacy, I might even say the cunning, with which people everywhere in Europe today go at the problem of the true and the apparent world, make one think and listen. And whoever hears only a will to truth in the background and nothing else certainly doesn't enjoy the keenest hearing. In single rare cases, such a will to truth, some extravagant and adventurous spirit, a metaphysical ambition to hold an isolated post, may really be involved, something which in the end always still prefers a handful of certainty to an entire wagonful of beautiful possibilities. There may even be Puritan fanatics of the conscience who prefer to lie down and die on a certain nothing than on an uncertain something. But this is nihilism, and the indication of a puzzled, deathly, tired soul, no matter how brave the gestures of such virtue may appear. But among stronger thinkers, more full of life, still thirsty for life, it appears to be something different. When they take issue with appearances, and already in their arrogance mention the word perspective, when they determine that the credibility of their own bodies is about as low as they rank the credibility of appearance, which asserts that the earth stands still, and as result in an apparently good mood, let go of their surest possession, for nowadays what do we think is more secure than our bodies, who knows whether they don't, at bottom, want to win back something which people previously possessed with even more certainty. Something or other of the old ownership of an earlier faith, perhaps the immortal soul, perhaps the old God. In short, ideas according to which life could be lived better, that is, more powerfully and more cheerfully, than according to modern ideas. It's a mistrust of these modern ideas. It's a lack of faith in everything which has been built up yesterday and today. It's perhaps a slight mixture of excess and scorn, which can no longer tolerate the bric-a-brac of ideas coming from different places, of the sort so-called positivism brings to market these days, a disgust of the discriminating taste with the fairground colourful patchiness of all these pseudo-philosophers of reality, in whom there is nothing new or genuine other than these motley colours. In my view, we should, in these matters, side with today's sceptical anti-realists and microscopists of knowledge. Their instinct, which forces them away from modern reality, is irrefutable. What do we care about their retrogressive secret paths? The fundamental issue with them is not that they want to go back, but that they want to go away. With some more power, flight, courage, and artistry, they'd want to move out, and not backwards.